Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamer Tag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 568. This is your host, Danny, and also joining us this week, the whole Gamer Tag Radio crew. Let's start off with Paris, co-host of the show. What's up, Paris?
Hey, I'm good, man. I've been dreaming all week. Dreaming at 1080.
Dreaming. It's getting close. It's getting close, Paris. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. You excited for E3, man? Lots of leaks, lots of conversations, lots of things going around, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're starting to get our appointments booked. You know, we're in the, what did we get this week? The PlayStation press conference. We're going to that. I mean, yeah, it's happening, man. It's starting to get down.
We definitely got to talk about that because it's a little, we have maybe a mini E3 prediction of Sony before we go to our next one for this episode. We're going to talk about it later. And also joining us, co-host of the show, Pete.
What's up? How are you?
I'm good, man. What's up with you, man?
I'm kind of excited about this week's show, so kind of amped.
I heard. Yeah, what is it that you're super excited about this week's show?
I know the jour thing is to like rag on EA. You know, that's who we're going to be doing predictions for this week. And I'm kind of like a fanboy of them. I mean, I'm a fan of a lot of their titles. So I'm anxious. I want to talk about it. Let's go get this over.
All right. I heard you're going to go all out on this.
I got this, bro. Hey, I threw you all with the loop last week, you know, for the last show with the Splinter Cell thing. So
let me tell you, you got me really good on that one. I was not expecting you to mention that name at all. Like, I totally forgot about that franchise until you mentioned it.
Yeah, man.
Pete, you got it, man.
You got all of the Tom Clancy ones, and the only one that was missing was the Tom Clancy's was Splinter Cell. So it was just, it had to go. So I'm ready. Let's go.
It's cool because we're getting a lot of cool feedback from everybody about the predictions and the past few episodes. People are getting really, really excited what's coming for E3, man. It's cool getting all this feedback from the listeners, man. So thank you for everyone that have been emailing us and sending us a voicemail. And because of that, this episode is only going to be about fan mail, the majority of it. And of course, we're going to have our E3 predictions. It's going to be about EA. And hopefully the next prediction, Pete, Paris, I think we should go with Bethesda, the next one. What do you guys think?
It sounds like a plan.
All right. So do your research. Come strong. Come strong. So head over to gamertagradio.com. Also go to play.it/gamertag. You listen to our past episodes there. And share with your friends. And you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. You could also give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And it's about that time. Fan mail.
fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
Mail. That sucked. Wow.
Wow, Pete. What happened?
See,
there, man?
I think I have the reasoning behind it. When we've been doing the last couple of Saturday morning shows, it's like I'm just waking up, I got like a coffee and a half in me, and the creamer's hitting strong, so it's got the back of my throat all jacked up. So yeah, these things is nah, man. I'm like, nah, it just, I don't know if I can do these good fan mail ones in the afternoon. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it.
Hit up Pete on Twitter, Pete Rock. That's PETEROCC. Hit him up and say hi. All right, so we have a lot of emails and voicemails. Which one we should go first, guys? Because we have a lot for this show. All right, so first question: which one we should pick for the first question?
Can I just kick it off with old Lil Johnny?
Yes. Yeah, go for it, man. Go for it.
Okay.
That's a big one. Go for it.
Oh, man. I've been waiting all week to read this one. So We got an email from Mario. Mario, thank you for the email. And this is addressed directly to me, so I'm going to read it verbatim. Paris, you're right. Whoops. No, that's not what he said. I'm sorry. I screwed that up. But I am right. I'm always right. Hold on. Yeah. Let me get the right one. Just keep it rolling. Here we go. He says, Paris, in the podcast yesterday, you said the Xbox One doesn't have that game. I'm assuming you're saying that because most games for Xbox One are going to PC as well. No, that's not why I'm saying that. I'm still new to the show, but your opinions seem to be formulated solely from your perspective on things. Yes, until I heard you mention Lil Johnny. Why are you not considering Lil Johnny when saying there's no game to pick up on Xbox One? Hear me out. There are millions of Lil Johnnies in the world. If Lil Johnny is, your words, not going to upgrade his hard drive on a PS4, do you really think he's going to get a gaming PC? The little Johnnies of the world are not going to get a gaming PC, and neither is a large part of your listening audience, no matter how many extra pixels the PC version has. Since you seem to care about little Johnny, is there any game for the Xbox One that could be that game for little Johnnies of the world? Here's some for you. Sunset Overdrive, Halo 5, Master Chief Collection, Ori and the Blind Forest, Dead Rising 3, Forza, Rise of the Tomb Raider. I could go on. How about multiplats? What's that you say? Multiplats are better on PS4? Here's a thought. Little Johnny isn't going to notice the extra pixels. I mean, he did this in all bold and caps, by the way. But he will notice that he got Witcher 2 for 3 with Witcher 3. Witcher 2 for free with Witcher 3. How about Doom? He won't notice the more frequent dynamic scaling, but he will notice that he got Doom 1 and 2 for free. How about Fallout 4? Little Johnny will notice that he got Fallout 3 for free. God damn it, I can't talk. I could go on with games, but how about EA Access? EA Access alone is an amazing value for the little Johnnies of the world. You're sounding more and more like a commercial for PC and PlayStation 4. You prefer to game on PC, I get it. Just don't make the Xbox One to be a useless piece of plastic. It may actually be a better option for the little Johnnies of the world if they had to choose. God bless. Now, full disclosure, I've replied to Mario during the week. We had a little back and forth, and we're good. It's just funny because when I read this, I laughed, and I even told him, I was like, I got to read this on the show. What I said to him via email was this. First of all, nowhere in my argument did I bring up that pixels or dynamic scaling matter. That has not been my argument at all about what I was saying last week about being that game. My whole point was, and I was including the PlayStation 4 in this, Uncharted 4, in my opinion, is the first that game that is exclusive to that system that would make me say, you know what, I need to get a PlayStation 4 because I got to play that game. I still don't see that exclusive game on the Xbox One that makes me want to go run out the door and pick it up. The closest one, ironically enough, would be Rise of the Tomb Raider. But guess what? I can play it on the PC and it's coming to the PlayStation 4. Of the other games that he listed, I love the Forza series. Halo 5 disappointed me. I loved Ori. But Ori, to me, is not a system seller. I'm not going to go buy a console just to play Ori. But again, I can play it on Windows 10 as well. And Sunset Overdrive, we all know how I feel about Sunset Overdrive, so I don't need to repeat it here. But again, the point is, there's nothing wrong with an Xbox One. If anything, it's a cheaper option between the PlayStation 4, you know, between the two consoles. So if you're just console exclusive, the Xbox One absolutely is a smart choice to get. It's cheaper. All the third-party games are there. And hey, if you're a fan of Halo and things like that, why wouldn't you go get it? Don't take my personal preference as a slam towards the Xbox One, because that's absolutely not what it is. Just like I've explained in the last few weeks, I still want to play Microsoft games. It just so happens Microsoft has made it so that I can play those games on Windows 10, which is why I made the choice that I made. So, you know, again, Mario and I are good, great listener. He emailed me some more of the stuff during the week as well. But I just had to get that out there because I know some other, because again, I knew it last week. I said, I know I'm going to get people mad at me for saying that. It's just, I'm still waiting for that game on the Xbox One that makes me sit up in my seat and go, wow, I have to get this. I have to play this. And so far, the only exclusive game that's done that for me is Uncharted 4. I mean, the rest of them are third-party games that you can play on any platform you want. So that's kind of just been my point. And then at that point, it really just comes down to platform choice. Whatever platform you choose to be your primary is up to you, because that's your money and what you want to do. And so far, there's only been one game that's out that I played so far that makes me say, yep, I need a PlayStation 4 because I have to play Uncharted 4.
Yep. And here's the thing, too. Remember this. Paris also mentioned that if there's a if there's any changes between now and 6 months, he will also buy an Xbox. All depends on what type of announcements Microsoft has during E3. So that's not a bad thing either.
No, it's not.
You could play PC, exactly. Too. You could play PC and you'll be fine.
And again, I'm just repeating myself at this point, but that's the thing. It's like I'm not giving up on Microsoft, or I don't hate Microsoft or anything crazy like that. Like, it was even funny on Twitter, Aaron Greenberg, he'd got Uncharted 4, and I was like, yep, that's a great game. You're going to love it. And he was like, wow, you're saying it's a great game? It must be, because, you know, he knows I'm so freaking picky on everything. And it's, you know, and he's going to come on the podcast during E3 and everything, and I'm sure we're going to talk about me and Xbox and Windows 10 and all that kind of stuff. The bottom line is, Microsoft is making a choice to integrate Windows 10 and making the Xbox One just a part of the Windows 10 platform. So in reality, they don't care what piece of plastic you're playing their games on, as long as you buy their games. That's all it comes down to. Yep. So I don't think anyone should be upset that if you own an Xbox One or you don't own an Xbox One. I mean, if you got a PC, you're still playing the same games if you choose to.
Yep. And guys, competition is good, man. All that free games that he's mentioning on Xbox One, that's good. That's good for Xbox One gamers, man. Who cares about which system you have? Like, this competition is great for the industry. So keep it up. I love seeing Microsoft in second. You know why? Because they're hungry as hell right now, because they want to be on top. And they're doing some different new moves there, here and there, in this generation that we haven't seen in the past, because they want to compete with Sony. So that's a great thing, I think. So
and if I could say one last thing to Mario, because again, thank you for sending that email. And like I told him via email, if you don't agree with anything we say, please call us out on our BS. I mean, that's the whole point that's the whole point of doing a podcast, right? We're giving our opinions. And if you don't agree, you're more than welcome to email us or tweet at us and say, hey, I don't agree with you, because just explain why you don't agree. Don't yell at us and call us names. But if you can give a valid reason why you disagree with us, just like Mario did, then, hey, we'll be more than happy to answer it and talk about it on the podcast or on social media.
Yeah. Well, we have one from Sonny.
Yeah, Sonny.
And I'm going to play it right now.
Hey, this is Sonny and Kaiser. My question is this, man. I really don't think Uncharted 4 is a reason to go out and buy a PlayStation 4. I think you guys contradicted yourself. On one hand, you said, don't go out and buy a PlayStation if you don't have one, because with all the changes coming up, we don't know what to expect. And at the same time, you said, Uncharted 4 is a game you should buy the PlayStation 4. And then the other thing is like this. It's like, Uncharted 4, how long is the gameplay going to be? 10 hours, 15 hours, 20 hours, if you look at all the scenery and take your time? So a console of $300 for a game that only lasts for 20 hours? I don't know, man. I just can't do it. Long time Xbox guy, long time part-time PC guy, gamer, had a PlayStation, just nothing really caught my eye. And I'm kind of wondering, are games moving forward going to move away from exclusives to basically everybody can play them on any machine, just a matter of what your preference is and where your friends are? Thanks. See
you. So Sonny says that we contradicted ourselves with the whole Uncharted 4 stuff. You know, buy Uncharted 4, buy the PlayStation, but wait, don't buy the PlayStation because they eat three. Like, so what is your answer to Sonny? Because I think he didn't really understand what we were trying to say during that conversation about, should you buy a PlayStation 4 now? Should you wait until E3? Your thoughts?
I don't think that's the reason. It may have been misconstrued. I simply said it is a system seller if you're looking for a product, if you're looking for a game console right now. If you are trying, and I'm doing the Paris slamming the table thing now.
Danny started that. I just copied him.
He's a pioneer. But yeah, if you've got the money burning a hole in your pocket right now to buy a console and you're undecided, then Uncharted 4 and PlayStation 4 is the way to go right now. If you can hold off, and I think this is what the consensus is between the three of us, if you can hold off, wait until after E3 and find out what it is that's coming, and then let that be the swaying decision whether you go towards either. But If you want something right now with a guaranteed phenomenal experience, Uncharted 4 and PlayStation 4. It's the only game out there that has you know, dropped everything that a gamer is looking for right now. And like we've said before, Ori is a phenomenal game. It was one of our, you know, selections for Game of the Year last year. But was that enough to buy an Xbox One? No. You know, some of the other titles that were some flagship titles for Microsoft, you know, just so as recently as Quantum Break and as going far back as Danny's favorite Sunset Overdrive. Hell, even Master Chief, I downloaded. I still haven't even played it just because of all of the bad reviews and bad, you know, just the bad commentary from everybody talking about the game. Well, I hope to play it eventually. Maybe. Are any of those a reason to go out and buy an Xbox? Probably not. Not if you need to have a console right now.
And that,
well, he also,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, he was also asked about console exclusive. Is that going to go away? I don't see that happening. The thing is, companies need to have exclusive games so people could buy their console, because if they just depend so much on third party games, then what is the purpose of buying a PlayStation? What is the purpose of buying an Xbox? You need to have console exclusive. I'm not saying to go crazy with it, have a lot, but companies need to have that in order so you can have a reason why to buy the console. You know, so I don't see that going away at all.
Exactly. So. And you know, and like Pete said, because that's what I had said at the end of the last episode. It was like, honestly, I think you'd be crazy to buy either console right now. Wait till E3, because a couple things is going to happen. They're probably going to announce new hardware. They're probably going to come out with slim versions of these current models, and they're going to drop the price on them. So you'd be crazy to buy one right now. I would absolutely wait, no matter which piece of hardware you prefer to get. You know what I mean? There's definitely going to be something enticing on either side of the fence after E3.
Yep. And at the end of the day, guess who wins? The gamers. Because of those
moves. Yeah, because of competition.
You know?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we have another one. This is from Ben, all the way from Tennessee. Let's play it right now.
Hey, guys, this is Ben from Tennessee. Once again, a weird intro. I've had two calls, so I'm going to try to put this time frame somewhere in the middle. First off, again, want to say, Danny, congrats on your proposal, man. Really hope everything goes great for your future endeavors. And also, Pete, really love your reviews, man. Hope you keep still doing all that great work, and Paris is keeping you. You know, that you're just great. Just keep on dreaming, man. Keep going with your TADI, and, you know, you're doing great, man. let them dream, right? All right, so I have two questions for you guys really quick. My first one, I'm really stuck between some conferences this year at E3, being that Xbox and Sony and Microsoft, excuse me. Really, I'm stuck between their conferences because I cannot decide which one is better. So I'm really curious about what would be your favorite. What do you think is going to be your favorite conference at E3 this year? And like I said, I'd love to hear your feedback next time you do fan mail or anything. Hopefully I get on there and you'll be listening to me babble on. And finally, my second question to you guys is a lot of games out there have different soundtracks, different set list of songs. You have Rock Band, Guitar Hero, ATV Opera Fury, or even Tony Hawk that has just a good set of songs that you can listen to while you're playing. Then you have, on the other hand, original compositions like Red Dead Redemption, Grand Theft Auto, Dying Light, Dead Island, Mass Effect, Halo, all of them, wonderful, great scores of compositions, kind of like movies, essentially. What would be your favorite video game soundtrack? I'd really be interested in hearing your feedback on that, because that's a question that just a few friends among me, including my brother, who listens to a ton of soundtracks, we only talk about. So I'd be really happy to hear about your feedback. Please get a hold of me. And like I said, my gamertag is Super Game Crazy on Xbox. Love to play with you guys sometime. And keep going with the show, guys. I really enjoy it. I've been an avid listener since February when you added it on Spotify, or it could have been January. Really look forward to future shows. And I hope to hear your feedback on this one way or another. All right. Peace.
All right. So Ben had a lot of things to say, guys. What are your thoughts about that call?
Well, I would say the press conference I'm looking the most forward to is Microsoft, because I have no freaking idea what's going to happen. Like we kind of know with Sony, all right, they're going to do VR. They might talk about the Neo. They might show God of War. They're going to probably show The Last of Us, things like that. But Microsoft, I mean, outside of, we know they're going to show Gears or probably show more of ReCore and Sea of Thieves. But there's this big mystery. Are they going to have new hardware? They're going to slim. Are they going to drop the price? What mystery games do they have up their sleeves that's going to come out this holiday? You know that stuff's going to happen. So to me, what is the Windows 10 integration going to be on both sides of the fence between the console and the PC? There's so many unknowns when Uncle Phil gets on that stage, on Monday in June. So, yeah, that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. And then I know he also asked, favorite video game soundtrack. Honestly, for me, it was Grand Theft Auto San Andreas for me, just because it had the whole West Coast hip hop feel, and that's just me. That's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this: the press conference I'm looking forward to the most, of course, is Microsoft. But at the same time, I'm wondering how PlayStation is going to be promoting VR. It's pretty tough to be to show off VR games at a press conference when people are just sitting down, not having the headset on. I wonder how they're going to promote that to get us excited for the VR, especially the people that are at home watching through the video, the video stream. How are they going to get excited with the VR too? You know what I'm saying? So that's the one that I'm like the most curious, but I'm excited because I don't know much on what's going on with Microsoft, you know? So now, favorite soundtrack, I have to go way back. Still to this day, there's two games that's like one of my favorite soundtrack ever. One of them is Jet Set Radio for the Sega Dreamcast. I know you could find that now on like current consoles and stuff like that. But also Grand Theft Auto Vice City, Paris, the 80s. You can't forget about those songs in the 80s, man.
I almost said that one. You're right. You're right. But, I mean, it's almost just like you just got to just take all the Grand Theft Autos and put them together, just depending on the era. You know, but
actually, my first soundtrack that I ever purchased was the Shenmue soundtrack that came out for a year before the game came out. I bought the import versions all the way from Japan, and I got it in New York City, and I got super excited for that game, man. So
now I don't know if this is a soundtrack per se, but if we really want to go old school, Mega Man 2. Loved it. Loved it.
That's
loved
a good it. One.
Because when you get to the boss levels and the music switches up and they all had their own unique music and it was all kind of catchy and everything. I like go on YouTube. I'm sure you can look that stuff up. Listen to some of that old music from Mega Man 2. It's fantastic.
Well, if you want to go way back, I'll go with Streets of Rage.
Yeah.
And also Super Castlevania 4 that came out for the Super Nintendo. That's a classic soundtrack. Look it up on YouTube.
Actually, there's a really strong Reddit page that has like all of the OSTs and game tracks in one page. You just click the button and it plays them. So just look up video game soundtracks on Reddit. It's pretty strong.
Awesome. All right, Pete, what your E3 press conference and soundtrack?
Agreed with you guys that I don't know what Microsoft can do from a VR perspective to stand out from what Sony. Everybody knows it's going to be all VR, Project Morpheus, etc. with them, and it's kind of hard. I don't think HoloLens is that next VR step for Microsoft.
I completely forgot about HoloLens.
I just don't think it's going to have that oh my God, I got to go buy the next Xbox and HoloLens. I just don't think it's there yet. It's
two separate products, though. It's two separate products.
Right, but if that's going to be their entry into VR, it might be another year of fail for them, unfortunately, and that's the last thing we want to see. We want to see each of these companies put the best product out, and who knows, maybe it's for the best that they hold off, give it another 6 months, 6 to 8, maybe 10 months of development, push it out at E3 2017 and blow everybody's socks off and do what everybody's been clamoring for manufacturers and developers to do. Hold off and give us the best. Mm-hmm. Don't give us something that you need us to beta test until it's officially ready for production, right?
Yeah.
As far as soundtracks, Me personally, I'm going to say Pixel Junk Eden. I'm an electronic music junkie, and it's one of those game soundtracks that I could sit there and play for hours, not just for the gameplay, but the music made it for me. It hit something special for me. From just as recently, I would also include Ori. Ori's soundtrack was really strong. You mix that with the story of the game itself, and it's the total package. So, and there's multiple reasons why that game, you know, was on a lot of people's game of the year list. So,
okay, all right. Now we have another voicemail, and wow, he's taking it back. This is dedicated to Paris. He's also mentioned his old school podcast, Uncle Gamer. Let's play it right now.
What's up, GTR? This is your boy, Dak. Paris, actually, you may not remember this, but I was been listening to you since you started. I don't know if you remember a trivia question. And for some reason, way back, the answer was Le Coq Sportif. It was about an old 80s tennis shoe. I hope you remember that. I'm not a crazy fan or anything, but I hope you remember that because that was back in 2005. Anywho, I was listening to your last episode, and I'm going to take a little burn from, I think, Kia and actually send a voicemail because I'm getting ready for my own show. I do a little podcast off the side. But I was thinking about E3, and I'm wondering Microsoft can win this by default, technically. And I just want to see how you guys think about this. They can win this by default because Sony's going to have VR. They're going to have a ton of VR. They're going to make sure, like, maybe a couple of their first-party games. They're going to give us a Last Guardian date, of course, and maybe another first-party that's going to sneak into the holiday season. But VR doesn't translate well at a press conference.
Paris, do you remember this person?
No, unfortunately, I don't. And when I listened to her during the week, I was racking my brain trying to remember. I'm old. I can't. That's too far back. I can't remember all that stuff. But no, but I appreciate him sending in the voicemail and everything and giving the shout out, man. I love doing that podcast back in the day. You kind of already touched on what he was asking about. As far as, you know, he was saying about VR translating at E3. Well, first of all, he asked if he's a crazy fan. Yes, you are a crazy fan because we're all crazy. But, but you know, again, going off of what you were already saying, Danny. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the trick. How can Sony at their press conference get someone watching on television excited about VR? Because, you know, as I've already said myself, I was not a believer until I actually slapped on that Oculus headset and I was playing Minecraft and I'm like, oh, wow, I get it. Now, I know they're partnering with GameStop, or, you know, around the country to have demo units and everything. I think Best Buy, too. I can't remember exactly. But that's the way. People have to experience VR to actually get it. I guarantee you the Sony booth will be 75% VR this year. Because they got to push it, man. That's the thing that's going to get people hyped. They got to get as many people on that show floor as possible to put on a VR headset this year to actually say, okay, I get it, and start talking about it on social media and get the buzz going so that when it comes out in October, people are throwing their coin purses at the Best Buy dude so they can get a VR.
Paris, I think we should talk about our theory that we talked about very quick on the chat. Because recently we just got an invitation to go to their Sony press conference and they moved the location. Now they're going to have it at the Shrine in LA. And one of the things that Paris said to me, imagine this is like a smaller crowd. Imagine we are going to use the VR during the presentation at E3. Do you think that's possible?
I mean, it's possible because hasn't Facebook done something similar?
Yeah, Facebook did it with Oculus.
But again, it would really have to be a small event. Now, they're having it at the Shrine. They have not specified if it's in the expo part or in the auditorium. If it's in the auditorium, you can put thousands of people in there. So I doubt they would give thousands of people a VR. But if it's a more intimate thing, maybe 200-300 people, why not? They could easily do it if they wanted to. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's the complete unknown right now. Again, I mean, they got to push this thing, man. They got to get a buzz going about VR at the show. And not to mention, they're going to be competing with Oculus and Vive at E3 as well. So they got to do something to stand out from the other two as far as VR goes.
Yeah. And if that happens, that is the first time at E3 history that a press conference is just like that VR style. That has never happened ever in the history of E3. So that'll be really interesting if they do pull that off. Never know. All right, so very quick, let's go straight to our sponsors here. Uber, for those that would like to get a VR later this year in October, or maybe the PlayStation Neo, PlayStation 4 Neo, and also maybe the new Xbox 1.5. If you need to make extra money, why not drive with Uber? Uber is a smartphone app that connects with riders or drivers, and as a driver, it helps you make extra money driving your own car. And it's totally flexible. You don't have to quit your day job. You could do this on the side, on your own time. And it's super, super easy. Whenever you need to make extra money, just turn on the app and drive a few hours here and there, and it all adds up. And it's super easy. This is what you have to do. Go to drivewithuber.com to sign up for free. And you could do it right now while listening to Gamertag Radio. And just answer a few basic questions about you, your car, and then get approved. Start driving, and that's it. Super easy. So if you want to work your own, using your own car, make some extra cash, your own schedule, sign up to Drive with Uber today. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Once again, drivewithuber.com. We have a lot of friends, a lot of family members that I know are doing this on the side, and they're having a great, great time. And of course, they're making extra cash. So why not go to drivewithuber.com and sign up right now. So thanks, Uber, for being our sponsor for this episode of Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Do we have extra emails? I have a couple more voicemails I'm going to play later on, but if you guys have any emails we'd like to read,
sure.
Go for it.
Sure. Let's take this one. This one is from Jeff, and he says, "Hey guys, first off, I just wanted to thank you guys for putting out such a high quality show. I discovered your podcast on Spotify about 6 months ago, and I've been hooked ever since. The dynamics of your personalities mesh so well with one another, and it makes my rides into work so much more enjoyable when I can listen to intelligent and entertaining discussion about gaming." Not sure where the intelligent talk's coming from with these knuckleheads, but I just listened to episode 567, and I had a question prediction I'd like to throw out there. I was crushed when I heard that Lionhead Studios was closing. I've been a huge fan of their games dating back to the black and white games for PC. In episode 567, Paris asked the question, "What is that game that could make people buy an Xbox One?" And I thought back and realized that the original Fable is what made me buy an Xbox. Fable 2 prompted me to buy a 360. And after reading about what Fable 4 possibly could have been, I can say it would have been the game that made me buy an Xbox One. I just don't understand Microsoft, but I'm going to find a silver lining. What do you think about the possibility that key members of Lionhead Studios goes ahead with making Fable 4 under a different company name? And here's the bold prediction. Is Miss Leo makes it a PlayStation exclusive just to rub salt in the ever-growing wound that is Microsoft's gaming industry? Being a PlayStation 4 owner, I would absolutely love this. That made me laugh. So I would like to hear your thoughts on this. Let me have my dream in all caps.
Yes.
Keep up the great work, guys. And thanks again for such a great show, Jeff from Jersey. So, Jeff, here's the thing. I'm a crush your dream right now. Microsoft owns the IP for Fable, so that is never, ever happening. No way in hell will it ever show up on a PlayStation 4. They will give it to another studio to make a Fable game eventually. It just won't be from Lionhead anymore since they closed the studio. But I get what he's saying. It made me think back. What was the game that made me get an Xbox originally? Ironically enough, it wasn't Halo. It was Dead or Alive. It was Dead or Alive.
Ooh.
That was a
good game.
Because I thought Halo was going to be terrible. I thought it was going to flop because I saw it at E3 that year and it was buggy and all messy. I'm like, dude, I don't know what Microsoft's doing. This game ain't going to be right. It was Dead or Alive because I love fighting games. So I was like, I'm getting it for Dead or Alive. And then I remember being in the store and seeing Halo on the shelf. And so it's like, I get the Halo game too. And I bought it as an afterthought, but it was Dead or Alive that made me get the original Xbox. And ironically enough, I was going to get an Xbox 360 no matter what, but the game that I was over the moon hyped for was Perfect Dark. Could not wait for Perfect Dark Zero. That was my launch game. And hey,
it was so disappointing.
Oh my God. So sad. I remember I tried to trick myself into thinking it was good too. So sad. But
it was so hard. It was so hard to even unlock achievements in that game too, man. Oh
yeah. And I would say the other game probably was Project Gotham Racing 3. I mean, I was really looking forward to that, especially with the whole Gotham TV stuff they were doing and all that. So you could do spectator things. I was really looking forward to that. And the Xbox One, I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I honestly don't know what game. I don't know what the launch game was. I'm really trying to think. I don't know. What?
To me, it was just Killer Instinct for me, like for the Xbox One. But original Xbox, I think just Project Gotham. I got excited playing that game during the Pride event that they had called Xbox Unleashed back in 2001. That was the game I was like, man, I gotta get the original Xbox. And I really didn't care much about Halo at that time. Once the game finally came out and I started playing it, that's when I really got into Halo. But I was just thinking about Project Gotham all the way. Now, the Xbox 360, Condemned.
Oh,
that was the game.
That was good.
I was like, woo, seeing this at E3. And I remember watching that game for the first time. They had it there at the booth. Steven Spielberg passed by with Peter Moore. I'll never forget that, man. He passed by, we're looking at it. And I remember looking at the console. I'm like, wait a minute. Is that a Mac connected to Xbox 360? Right behind the TV. They had a Mac and everything there, man. Next to the Xbox 360. It was weird, man. So weird. So,
we have a ton of emails. So how many more do you want to read?
You know what? I have a voicemail I would like to play.
Okay, go for it.
And this is...
Oh, wait. Does Pete not have an opinion?
I was just waiting. I was just wondering if I was going to get an opportunity to speak up or if Danny was going to be like, whatever for this guy.
My bad. You can go for it. My bad. Go for it.
For the original Xbox, God. I want to say Halo probably did it for me just because it's such... It was their first foray, right? That's what brought them in for everybody else. Oddworld?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yep. Because he was kind of like the mascot for the launch, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was just such an odd, different game that it was perfect to try to like introduce that, you know, that whole thing. PGR was good. Pro Skater 2 from Tony Hawk.
Ooh, okay, that's a good one. Great soundtrack,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then from, you know, Xbox 360, obviously, Condemned. I've said it numerous times. Phenomenal game. Need for Speed Most Wanted as well. For me, it's another personal favorite from that whole launch. And, you know, mm-hmm. Perfect Dark Zero, as much as everybody loved, it just didn't capture the glory that the original one had done. So, but yeah, those are mine.
And remember, guys, you couldn't jump in Perfect Dark Zero. Everyone was so used to the whole jumping part. And a lot of the media at that time were complaining, you can't jump. I don't even remember that, Paris, when that game came out.
I'm sorry. I got distracted because I just saw that Aisha Tyler is getting divorced. So we got a shot, Danny. We got a shot.
Oh, you see? Well, Paris, I got engaged.
Oh, that's right. You know, did. And I've been married for 20 years. Damn it.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So we're going to play another voicemail. This is all the way from Phoenix, Arizona.
What up, Gamertag Radio crew? This is Brock calling from Phoenix, Arizona. I just got done listening to your latest episode, and I specifically wanted to comment on the discussion about storytelling when you were comparing CD Projekt Red to Uncharted. The comment was made that Uncharted's had more time for you to get invested in the characters if you've played through multiple games, etc. But I would counter that with the point that I cared about the characters in The Last of Us after only playing the one game, whereas I've played all the Witcher titles, and it took till the second one before I really started being able to relate to any of the characters on any level. That's just me personally, and I'm not saying CG Projekt Red's bad at storytelling. I love the Witcher games. I've played the third one 2.5 times now. But I think that that's one aspect that Naughty Dog's just a little better at. I cared about Nathan Drake after the very first game. I played through the first and second back-to-back and then went right through and played them both again. Anyway, love the show. Love listening to each and every episode. And keep up the good work. See you.
It was more of a feedback about the whole CD Projekt Red, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically saying, which I do not disagree with at all, that he prefers the Naughty Dog Last of Us type of storytelling versus what CD Projekt Red did with Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. And you have to look at it this way. I mean, CD Projekt Red is tied to the lore of all the Witcher books, so everything needs to be based around that. And it being an open world game where you kind of are free to make your own choices and decisions throughout the game, mm-hmm. they can't nail down that emotional part of the story like Naughty Dog has with The Last of Us and even, you know, now with Uncharted 4. So, no, I totally get it. It comes down to preference, really. But, yeah, I side with him.
Cool. Well, this is another this is actually a post. You know, I love reading comments on our Facebook Gamertag Radio page. And this is one from Donnie. He writes, he talks about, this is a comment under episode 5667. He was like, damn, did y'all forget how amazing Tomb Raider and Quantum Break was? Just listen to the podcast and is as biased to PlayStation 4 as ever. Still love the show, but it makes me wonder if you're being sponsored by Sony. What in the world? Sponsored by Sony?
Why? Hey, if only he knew the emails behind the scenes trying to talk to these companies. We sure as hell ain't sponsored by Sony.
At all, man. Look, what's wrong with saying that Uncharted 4 is that game? Don't get me wrong. I love Tomb Raider. Great, great game. Quantum Break, a great, great game. But to me, I feel in this generation, that type of style of game, Uncharted 4 has it right. Story, characters, voice acting, not too much craziness on the screen. Even the shooting, the combat, everything is just perfect to me, man. That's to me one of the games that I like so far for 2016, man. Game of the year contender for sure. But we have never actually dissed Tomb Raider or Quantum Break. Now, the Quantum Break part, Quantum Break as a console, great. PC, a little different, man. It's a little different. And that's the thing. We have to say the truth. If there's issues with the game, even if you like it for a different version of the game, like let's say for the Xbox One, if it's broken for the PC, we're going to talk about it. Why are we going to be kissing butt saying, oh, it's a great game too? I don't want people to go buy the PC version. Then they're going to be disappointed. Like, really, you guys basically fooled me to buying this game, you know? So we always going to be real with our feedback about the games. Now, there's certain games that Paris might like that I don't. Same thing either way, you know, with P and so on. So, but sponsored by Sony, I wish. I would be driving a pretty cool Tesla right now if that were happening. So, and Paris would be traveling all around the world, sponsored by Sony. So, thanks. All right. So, we have more emails you want to read? We could read a couple more before we go to our E3 production.
Yeah, we got a bunch.
Prediction.
Pete, do you want to do one or you want me to do it?
Go ahead and knock.
Well, he didn't.
Go ahead and grab one. Okay. Go ahead and grab one. I'll get the next one.
You want me to do it?
Actually, you know what? I'll get this one. What's up? This is from Cody. Cody from Bloomington, Indiana here. I was telling my wife and 8-year-old daughter how excited I was to try, and he wrote it like this in quotes, Unchanged 4.
What's that game?
My daughter said she had already seen most of the game played on Twitch. Made me realize the wide range of people that use Twitch and YouTube to experience video game media. These outlets are obviously here to stay and growing. My question is, do you think we will see a decline in sales and people playing these heavy story-based games due to them feeling as if they have already experienced the game watching their favorite online personality play? I love playing games, but do not sitting down to watch someone else play. I'm obviously in the minority. Thanks, guys.
Well, I can answer that very quick. Usually when video game companies send review copies, especially digital copies, to us, they tell us if you're going to stream on Twitch, certain levels you could stream during that week. Now, we're not really hardcore streamers like compared to other Twitch or YouTube gamers out there. But basically, if the company send you a copy and it's of a game early and they say to only stream a certain amount of levels until the launch day, after launch day you could, or the embargo day, you could stream whatever you want. That's not gonna happen. I don't see people spoiling everything before the game comes out, and I think that is never gonna decline, especially now, especially Microsoft and Sony. They've been sending copies of these big AAA titles to a lot of like most influential Twitch streamers and YouTubers all the time. Same thing with Uncharted, same thing with I'm thinking of like single player games, Tomb Raider, Sunset Overdrive, you know, and so on. And I think it's gonna help people to get excited and to buy the game. Doesn't matter if they've seen some of it on Twitch, so, or YouTube. You guys agree or what?
Yeah, I mean, it just comes down to a thing of I'm with him. I'm not the type of person that likes watching other people play games because I like to experience it myself. But I mean, the numbers show. I mean, just look at Twitch, look at YouTube gaming. People like watching people play video games. It is what it is. It's its own phenomenon at this point. And like you were saying, Danny, I mean, a lot of the publishers are taking advantage of that now, and they're sending these games out to these streamers early so that people can sit there and watch them play the game. It's not my cup of tea, but I totally get it.
Yep. I can't lie. I've spent many hours watching, you know, Total Biscuit or, you know, any number of other streamers playing games. I think it gives the potential consumer an opportunity to see a better review or a better, you know, instance of the game versus what may come across either paper and pen or on one of our podcasts. You visually get to see the experience and make a better judgment call onto, all right, maybe this is something I'd like to do, or maybe not. Maybe it's just maybe my initial impression, you know, just from seeing trailers on TV were totally different than this game experience that I'm seeing on screen. So I think it's a good avenue to make a better informed decision. Now, others in the industry, unnamed, have a feeling about this, and I guess they feel some kind of way about whether the person that's doing the video review should have a specific skill set.
I knew it. I knew he was going to say that.
And I'm just going to leave it at that. But I just think having a visual experience of watching the game, regardless of the skill level of the person doing the video review, gives the consumer a better opportunity as to whether they can make a better, more informed decision as to whether they want to buy the game or not. And at the end of the day, it's up to the consumer to decide. It doesn't matter.
Hashtag facts.
Facts.
And remember, unedited.
Raw and unedited.
Raw.
I can't. I cannot wait for E3. You have no idea. I can't wait for E3. Oh, my God.
All right. So we also have Keon from Baltimore. Keon, shout to you, brother. You always call Gamertag Radio every single time an episode comes out. So thank you so much. We're going to play his call right now.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? How you guys doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just had a very quick question for you guys, since you guys are doing the lead up to E3 and making your predictions, which has been awesome so far. I have thoroughly enjoyed all of y'all predictions. But the question I want to ask you guys pertaining to E3 is, do you think that Microsoft should continue to go first? Do you think that they should maybe let Sony go first in its place and possibly piggyback off of what they do and maybe do something a little different? Maybe they saw where Sony might have failed in some cases and they switch it around and do something else. I'm just curious to know what you guys think about that. And if you guys could answer the question, do you know if it's a reason why they actually go in the order that they go in? And do you think that they can actually opt to go second or third or however it may work? You guys continue to do an awesome job. I thoroughly enjoyed the show earlier this week when you guys went over an hour again. I was fist pumping the air and everything was great. So with that being said, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day and you guys take care. Bye-bye.
Once again, shout out to Keon. Keon!
Well, you know what, though, was funny about Keon? Because remember I said last week, I'm like, hey, you tired of hearing Keon leaving his voicemails? Start leaving voicemails. And we got a ton this week. So keep sending that feedback, sending the voicemails, man. We really appreciate it. But, you know, it's funny what Keon is saying, because at this point, I don't think Microsoft, even if they wanted to go last, Sony would let them. Because there's no way that they're going to have their press conference on Tuesday morning, the day of E3. They're going to do it on a Monday, right? Sony kind of smartly got in that last spot, and they can always react to what everyone else does. And I don't think they'll budge out of it. Unless the ESA somehow forced them to change, which I don't think is possible since they do it offsite. So, yeah, I think Microsoft is just kind of, not that they're stuck, because maybe they kind of like setting the tone for the day, but I think they'll always just be the first one to go on Monday, and Sony will probably always be the last one to go on Monday.
And remember this too, guys. Usually video game companies communicate with each other behind the scenes, like, oh, what time are you guys going? What location? Like, it happens behind the scenes. So if they have to make some changes, they will make some changes, you know? So I remember one time, I think Konami had a press conference the same time as Nintendo.
And horrible.
Horrible idea. Why would you even do that? And they changed in the last minute. Like, no, there's no way. Everybody's going to be watching the Nintendo press conference instead of ours. So, yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So, and that's it. I mean, do you want to read one more email?
Is Pete not allowed to respond to anything anymore?
I read it.
Pete is quiet. He's quiet, so I don't know if he's gonna answer or not. Pete, you gotta take over. Pete,
how am I supposed to when you gonna cut me off?
He just
talk over me anyways.
Danny literally talks and just transitions. He doesn't even take a breath. He's like, "Hey, no, you know what? We're going to another second thing here." All caps.
All cap facts. Let me dream.
I think Microsoft just does that to make to try to get whatever they can out first. Ultimately, the first impression is usually the biggest, and that
one
forces
in 2013. I'll tell you that.
At the end of the day, I think it's all a marketing scheme from all of them. It gives them the opportunity for that first strike, but it also gives everybody else the opportunity to maybe do a last minute re-edit of their PowerPoint deck and maybe come, you know, maybe do one thing better. A la Sony with an alleged price change, etc., from 2013. But
never forget this. $499.
Yeah.
And I looked at Paris. They can't be sued,
dude,
right?
Dude, I will never forget that. Phil Spencer just looked like he didn't even want to say it. He was like, hey, it's $499, guys. And people were like, do we clap? I don't get it.
wait. Hold on. But hold on. At that time, Don Matrick was in charge.
No. I understand that. But Phil Spencer was the one standing on stage delivering the message. That's my point. And it was so weird because it didn't make, I was like, God damn, this thing expensive.
Yo, it was like no soul. Yeah. It was just like, $499. It was like very awkward.
Did say no soul and Don Matrick in the same sense.
But that goes back to the thing again, you know, just what Keon was saying is, look, love PlayStation, hate PlayStation, that's not even the point. But we were in the crowd that night. We've said it in the past, man. When they said $3.99, no DRM on used games. People lost their minds in the crowd. I mean, there's a shot of, shout out to our friend Hip Hop Gamer, standing up, cheering, and everyone, you know, Danny didn't because he was in the bathroom and missed the whole thing, but.
No. I cried. I was like, what happened? Yo, all right, hold on. Paris, I had to defend myself. Guys, look, right before the press conference of Sony, they had the bar open. They had a lot of drinks. I was drinking a lot, man, right before we went inside. So I'm there sitting down, and their press conference is actually long. It's like 3 hours long, right? Maybe 2 hours and a half. And I'm holding it. I just couldn't take it away. I had to go to the bathroom. And when I'm in the bathroom, I hear this scream. I'm like, what the hell just happened? I came out, and I see Paris going to Amazon.com, reordering the PlayStation 4, and I see the sign, $3.99. I'm like, damn, they got it, yo. That was a pretty, pretty cool announcement. I'm not going to lie, yo. That was awesome, yo. It was a pretty cool moment. I wish I was there, but I had to go to the bathroom, man. So, all right. Time for E3 predictions.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. And I've given them my E3 2016 predictions. You hear me?
Miss Leo is the star of the show so far for the month of May, right before E3. So this week, we're going to be talking about EA, and the first person that's going to do the honors is Pete Rock. Pete,
all right,
go for it.
Here we go. So I think I'm going to get the ones that everybody already expects out of the way first. So I know they just announced a new Star Wars game on May 4th. Haha, well played. So, you know, I think we're going to get more information on that one. Star Wars Battlefront DLC. It's about time they start dropping some of that because I think that game has gotten lost. Battlefield 1. I think we're going to get information on some EA Play beta.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some actual in-game gameplay because I know it's been a CG experience so far. Titanfall 2 release date. I think they've already said it's going to be Q4. Later this year, holiday release. And obviously all the sports titles. Mass Effect Andromeda. Obviously, I think we're going to get some gameplay and a new trailer. I think they're going to say Q1 2017 is the launch, the actual release. And now to the actual prediction part of this whole portion.
Uh-oh.
Dead Space.
Yes,
the ending of 3 with Isaac and Carver being knocked unconscious by that brother moon. Too open-ended. That's exactly how it ended. You don't know what happened. And there was that, you know, it's just, there's too much opportunity. And it was such a phenomenal game. The story, everything. It's about time that it's due to be brought out from the ashes. And I know EA originally canceled it due to what it thought was lagging sales. But all three of them made a profit.
Okay. All right. Go for it. I have one major
okay,
one.
I've got two more, like 2.5 left here. So okay. I want to know where that Criterion Games IP that we were promised in 2014 is.
Huh?
Yeah. They talked about wingsuits and planes and jet skis and everything else with an engine under the sun. And we haven't seen anything. I know they merged with Ghost Games and put out Need for Speed, and they helped out Battlefield Hardline and Battlefront with different portions of their games. But it's been 3 years.
It's been a while,
it'll be 3 years now since that announcement that they were working on something. And I vividly remember the wingsuits and the jet skis. I want to see more. I want to know what they've got hidden under their sleeve. So moving forward, I want another BMX trick game, but I don't want Trials. Rest in peace to the great Dave Mira. He had an amazing freestyle BMX game back in 2000, 2001. It was one of my favorite all-time games. I love Dave Mirra's freestyle BMX. So I know it's this is that crazy stupid prediction that that I'm gonna say that's probably not gonna come out, but that's gonna be mine. And also, I'd like to see a new iteration of Skate.
Ooh, that's a good one. I was gonna mention that, but you got okay. All right, you got that one right. You got the right. So I'm gonna mention. Only predictions. You already know about Timefall and Mass Effect. I'm going to mention games prediction right now. Burnout. Bring it back. It's about that time. It's about that time. Bring it.
I don't think
also, it works, though. Hey.
Let him dream.
Let me dream. It's my prediction. My prediction. Okay. All right, number two, call me crazy, but I see the return of college football coming back, NCAA 2017.
Wow.
Okay. 2017. All right. They'll announce it for next year. And I'm going to mention a random one. I don't know if this is possible. I would like to see a new Army of Two game.
I thought about that.
Well, you thought it, and you never mentioned it, and that's me.
I didn't want to take over the show.
I get the credit, guys.
I didn't want to take over the show.
It was me. It's all good. And that's about it. Paris, it's your turn.
Okay. So, I don't know if you remember when we were at EA, the press conference, at the expo thing at the Shrine, and they were serving the donuts. This was the donut year. And yes. It was probably the worst EA press conference ever because they didn't have any games to show and everything was the future and they didn't, it was just things that were coming. They showed, they hinted at Mass Effect Andromeda coming from BioWare, but they also hinted at another sci-fi game coming from BioWare, right? I think this is the year we find out that it is coming probably in 2018. And it's going to be an open world / open universe sci-fi game a la The Witcher 3. Think of that size and scope of The Witcher 3. I think that's coming from BioWare. Completely brand new world. It's not tied to anything we've seen before. Everything brand new, but it's completely open world. You can travel to all these planets, do all this crazy stuff. Look, we got our Mass Effect. We have that. But this is open world, just huge game. That's my crazy Miss Leo for that. Now, my big one is this. People keep forgetting that EA wants to get into the esports as well. Starting with Madden this year, every EA sports title and every big shooter title, think Battlefield 1, will have EA's esports channel built in game, as well as an esports channel app coming out on every console, Roku, Apple TV, and PC device, and mobile device as well. So think your iPhone and iPad.
Yeah. And it's going to be Uncle Peter. Uncle Peter making an announcement, right?
Yes. Yes. Uncle Peter's going to come on stage and make the announcement.
Yes. Oh, I have a big one, but go for it. Continue.
No, that's it. That's all I got.
That's it? Okay. Yeah. All right. I forgot to mention this. Guys. EA Access members, I predict that they're going to be adding more games into the old EA.
Well, there's
access.
A shocker.
This time,
Jesus, but way wait, to come wait, down wait, the mountain wait. With the tablets yeah. there.
But wait. I'm going to take it a little bit. I'm going to take it a little bit further. On the Xbox One, now you could play old EA games from the Xbox 360 to the Xbox One.
Yeah, it's called backwards compatibility. They're already doing that.
But for EA Access members, you don't have to buy the game. It's part of the subscription service. Why not add it in there, man? That's more games. Now, if you do mention EA, an announcement like that, make sure that the servers are up. That's what I'm saying. Because one of our most popular posts ever on GTR.
Oh, the servers.
You know my witness.
The servers.
The servers from EA. A bunch of games got shut down from the Xbox 360 days. So I'm just gonna leave it on that. So imagine that Dead Space 2, part of the EA Access. Oh my God, it'll be beautiful. Woo! Make it happen, man. Make it happen. And that's it. That's all my predictions. You guys are done. What? Anything else randomly? Maybe some last minute predictions?
No, I think that's it for me. For EA.
But Paris, I like the EA esports app, Uncle Peter announcing it during EA press conference. I like that, man.
No, thank you. Like, yeah, because I mean, I'm trying to think EA other than stuff that we kind of, like Pete said, that we kind of already know. That's why I brought up that BioWare sci-fi game. It's something they talked about a couple years ago, and we've not heard anything since. So maybe now is the time we'll get more information on it, you know?
Wait, we haven't. Are we going to see anything with Star Wars?
Of course.
Hello? I already said that.
Yeah.
No. But I'm talking about the one. Not the one that's coming out next year, because I know they're gonna mention a Battlefield one. I mean, Battlefront, Star Wars game. But maybe the next game that we're waiting for.
They just announced the new action adventure Star Wars game. They just announced. I don't think they're gonna work on a third property within the Star Wars. That might be stretching themselves a little thin there, I think.
Well, all right. I'm just saying. All right, so we're gonna wrap it up. We're good. I'm happy with this episode. It was really good.
I know. Before we wrap up the show, I got a couple more things I wanted to bring up.
Go for it.
So, Take Two had their whole investment call and the numbers and all that thing came out. Do you realize Grand Theft Auto 5 has sold 65 million copies across all platforms in its lifetime so far? And it's done 35 million on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. That is insane.
That is insane.
And then finally, I just have to say the 1080 benchmarks have come out. We actually got a couple emails.
People saying 1080 radio.
Yeah, people asking them to let them dream too. But yeah, those benchmarks came out. Yeah, I'm 100% getting one. I'm not even weak anymore. I have a 980 card and it is doing anywhere between 65 to 75% performance increase over a 980. I'm getting it. Period. Done. It can do The Witcher 3 Ultra settings in 4K. It can do it at 45 frames per second without an overclock. I'm done.
I mean, it
does over 60 frames per second at 1440p. For The Witcher 3 in Ultra. I mean, I'm done. I'm in. You got me. I'm getting it.
All right. P, anything else from you? So before we wrap it up?
No, I'm on the hype train with Paris. I'm just battling my inner wallet trying to decide whether I want to go reference card.
No, do not go reference card. It is the same exact card that you'll get when the partner cards come out. There's no difference to it.
Except I'll get it on May 27th as opposed to getting it sometime in July.
Well, then, well, you call me weak, then you're weak because at least I can.
Well, I ain't got no problem admitting that.
I can clutch my coin purse until the end of June. That's all I'm saying.
Watch, and then when I hit that unbox, you can see Paris. I got weak. I bought it too.
Well, I mean, I guess I could say this, all jokes aside, there is the potential that we may be getting a review unit in June, but we'll see.
And in the meantime, Paris is sweating in the background. It's all good. It's all good. Go to gamertagradio.com or visit play.it/gamertag. Visit over there and listen to our past episodes. And share with your friends. And also, if you're in iTunes, subscribe over there. Post a review. Spread the word. Also, you could also find us on Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And until next time, we are out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.